From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. We're glad you've joined with us for today's program. In just a few moments, you'll hear a message from God's Word brought by Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. This week's message is called The Welcoming Christ, the second of two messages on the theme, Christ, the Friend of Sinners. Luke chapter 15 contains some of the most beloved of the Savior's parables, such as the lost sheep and the prodigal son. In considering the parable of the lost sheep, Dr. Cairns demonstrates Christ's estimate of the value of a single soul. Prior to the preaching of God's Word, Dr. Cairns uses today's hot topic to report that the Discovery Channel airs lie about Jesus' tomb.
Christianity stands or falls on the truth, or otherwise, of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrection has been well termed the Gibraltar of the Gospel. The apostles of Christ recognized the importance of this truth. Paul went so far as to tell the Corinthians that if Christ didn't actually rise again from the dead, the whole Christian faith was vain, empty, worthless. Furthermore, he said that if Christ did not rise from the dead, the apostles would have been liars and false prophets, for they testified that they had actually seen, touched, and spoken with him, and received his teaching in the interval between his resurrection and his ascension. Not only the apostles recognized the central importance of the resurrection of Christ to Christianity, so did the Jews, and so did the devil. Thus, ever since, there has been an unremitting campaign to discredit the truth of the resurrection. Rationalists have attacked it as mythical, for, say they, dead people just don't rise from the dead. We all know that. But that does not for a moment give any logical reason to disbelieve that God, who sent his Son into the world to die for sinners, could raise him from the dead as a proof of his divine personal mission. The tomb that Jesus occupied lies outside Jerusalem. After 3 days of occupancy, he left it as he rose again from the dead. However, every now and again someone claims to have found the tomb of the Lord Jesus. Allegedly it has been found as far away from the Holy Land as the Himalayas. Of course, it's all imaginary. Last year, the Discovery Channel aired a documentary about a tomb unearthed by archaeologists in 1980 that its discoverer claimed to be the tomb of Jesus. The report for the Discovery Channel was by a Jewish investigative reporter, as he was called, in which he stated that in the tomb was a crypt containing what were said to be the ossuaries of Joseph, Mary, Jesus, the son of Joseph, Mariamne, and Judah, the son of Jesus. To make the report a little spicier, the filmmaker speculated that Mariamne could have been Mary Magdalene, and that Jesus could have been married to her. Not surprisingly, Christians and academics slammed the film. However, recently, Time magazine reported that Princeton Theological Seminary professor James Charlesworth organized a conference in Jerusalem, bringing together over 50 archaeologists, statisticians, and experts in DNA, ceramics, and ancient languages, to give evidence as to whether or not the crypt of Christ had been found. The vast majority of these experts canned the idea that they were dealing with Jesus' coffin. Now, I think of the reference to DNA. I know that DNA is a marvelous investigative tool, but its use here to seek to prove that a certain coffin or bunch of bones belonged to Jesus of Nazareth is a crazy attempt to lend a pseudo-scientific appearance to mere prejudice or opinion. Charlesworth, a Methodist minister, thinks that if this is the tomb of Jesus and his wife and son, Christians should rejoice at evidence that he really existed. Now, there's liberalism run absolutely mad. The truth is that all the names used were extremely common names in Judea at the time of Jesus. Some think it's statistically improbable that all the names should be found together in one crypt. Actually, there are just three names on the ossuaries that coincide with the Gospels' accounts: Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. Mariamne and Judah, the son of Jesus, do not appear in the story of our Saviour. The appearance of three extremely common names in one family is a very poor basis for attacking the truth of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. This time, the Discovery Channel discovered nothing, at least nothing more than the enduring prejudice of Jews against the Lord Jesus and of liberal apostates against the supernatural elements of the gospel. Some discovery.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the Gospel of Matthew. Five articles dealing with various aspects of this book will give you a deeper understanding of the Lord's Word through Matthew, the converted tax collector. Other articles in this issue deal with the nation of Ghana, as well as with one of the most important aspects of the Christian life, the subject of prayer. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and we invite you to join us on our website this week.
The shepherd, because of his love, sets out on a tremendous journey to seek and to save. What a picture of the love of Christ. What a journey did the love of Christ set him upon. Down from his glory, ever-living story, my Lord and Savior came, and Jesus was his name. What a journey. From the heights of glory to the depths of shame, from heaven's beauty to the wretchedness of earth. That's the journey. The prophet Ezekiel says, I sat where they sat. None could say that more than the Lord Jesus Christ. That love of his that sent him on such a journey never gives up. You will see that he sticks with the task and accomplishes his purpose. You will see that his love is a warm, sincere, and I want you particularly to notice this, uncondemning welcome of the penitent sinner. So often when people feel and they fall and they get deep down into sin and they have wasted their lives and corrupted themselves and the devil will come and their own conscience will come and say, there's no hope for you, and if you ever did meet with the Lord, he would take such a time reaming you out and condemning you. By the time he'd get through all your sin, you would have to give up all hope. But when these people come to Christ, these publicans and sinners, did you ever notice this? The Lord Jesus never in his ministry ever had one word of condemnation for a publican or a sinner who drew near to him.
Never once. Oh, he blistered the scribes and the Pharisees. But never once did he add one insulting word, one condemning word, one fault-finding word. Never by word or glance did the Lord Jesus ever intimate to a poor, lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinner anything, anything but warm, sincere, uncondemning welcome. And having welcomed the sinner, his love makes full provision for every penitent. It's not a grudging acceptance that the Lord gives any sinner. It's not an admission to second-class citizenship. Let me tell you, there are no second-class citizens in the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. None. He doesn't say, well, I picked you up from such vile depths, now I'm going to let you in, but you've got in and no more. No, sir. The only people that the Scripture speaks about as being saved by the skin of their teeth, by the way, and I'm sure it may be, actually, it may become true of others, but the only people who are saved by the skin of their teeth are preachers. Paul makes this very clear in writing to the Corinthians. Preachers who take the foundation of the gospel and on it they build wood and hay and stubble. In other words, they corrupt the church of Christ with false converts to make themselves look and feel good. They have got beyond the gospel. They may be saved themselves. What a day when preachers stand before God. They see the thousands that they have built into large churches drop down into hell. It'd be an awful day. But it's never said of the publican or the sinner who comes to Christ that he's just saved by the skin of his teeth. No, sir. When he's saved, he's completely saved. Utterly saved. It's a full and free and bountiful acceptance. And as the father in the third parable brings the son in and spreads the board before him, decks him out with the best that his riches can supply, and feeds with him and feasts with him and fellowships with him and rejoices with him. That's what Christ does to the penitent sinner. Oh, he loves such sinners. But something that is just about always overlooked is Christ's love for another kind of sinner. You know, in the third parable there is a very, very unattractive character. The elder brother. The Lord Jesus makes it clear that elder brother is his description of the self-righteous Pharisees who were condemning him. They didn't need to be saved. They didn't need to repent. And like the elder brother, when publicans and sinners are drawing near to go in, they wouldn't go in. But do you notice this in the parable? That the Lord Jesus even loved sinners like that. The Lord Jesus, by means of this parable, issues an invitation to the Pharisaical elder brother type to come and join themselves to the number of the penitent and to enjoy the feast of His love and His grace. In other words, you look out across a world of sinners. You'll see religious sinners, irreligious sinners. You'll see sinners walking the clean side of the street. You'll see sinners walking the filthy side of the street. Every kind of sinner you can imagine. And if the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us anything in Luke 15, it is this, that with an almighty passion, He loves sinners of every kind. The old, well, it's not such an old, it's a new, fairly new hymn that says, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? And it is. Just stop and ask yourself a question today. Where would I be if the Lord Jesus had never loved me? Where would I be if he had waited until I was worthy of his affection, where would I be if he had set any conditions that I had to fulfill? I'd be lost, undone, without hope. For you see, though people are slow to recognize it, we're all among the publicans and the sinners. The publicans betrayed their fellow countrymen. We have betrayed our God. The sinners have befouled their own minds and bodies. We have broken the very law of God in every point. And there's not one of us that cannot, must not honestly confess, every particle of God's law rises up to demand our eternal damnation, if left to ourselves. But Christ loved us, set out on a journey from the throne of glory to the cross of shame. Why did he do it? He passionately loves sinners of every kind. Second thing he shows us about himself in these parables is that he places great value on one single soul. Now, sinners were coming to Christ in droves. Yet you'll notice that in the parable, he never speaks of sinners as a number, except it be the 99 sheep who thought, sinners who thought they didn't need salvation. He speaks only of the individual. And you know, that speaks volumes to me. Salvation must be an individual matter, or it's not salvation at all. Now, once we're saved, we enter into a community, the community of the redeemed. But you can never be saved by your place in a group. Understand that. Salvation has to be one soul at a time. Repentance is a deeply personal matter between one individual and his God. Faith must be exercised one heart at a time. It's individual. But when you stop to think then a little further, you realize not only must salvation be individual, but the Lord Jesus Christ, in performing all his saving work, not only did it for the entire body of his church, but he did it for each penitent soul individually. That's clear in the parable. He took his journey for the one sheep. He went seeking for the one lost coin. He stood with his eyes searching the horizon, waiting for the return of the one prodigal son. And if you want to see the value of an individual human soul, follow Christ as he goes seeking for the one lost sheep. I was reading great English Baptist preacher who was pointing out some of the mistakes people make on these parables, some of the utter heresy that's taught. For example, that you don't need blood atonement, because here Christ talks about these people being saved and there's no mention of blood atonement or anything else. It's missing the whole point of the parable, as he was pointing out. And one other thing that people were saying is, well, what kind of love is this? The son went down into the far country, and the father just let him go and didn't go after him to bring him back. And he said, did the father not go down into the far country? You take a time of war, when men set off to the battlefield, and their wives and their sons and their daughters, their little ones, are left behind. Their mothers and fathers are left to pray? Is there not a very real sense in which those wives and those mothers and those children go with them and spend every day with them in the place of danger? A lot of truth in that. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ went after the sheep, but not only physically, but in mind and in soul, his whole being has gone out in the identification that only love can make with such unworthy objects. He goes out to save the lost. If you want to see the value of a soul, see how far he went to save an individual soul.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.